And we have a special guest in the studio today. We'll be listening to a little bit of choral music because Bruce Gladstone is with us. He is the brand new artistic director for the Festival Choir of Madison. He's also the associate director of choral activities at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, where he does quite a bit of conducting. And he also is the music director at the Orchard Ridge UCC here in Madison. Welcome,
Thank
Bruce.
You. Thanks. It's great to be here.
And you're also a tenor soloist.
Yes, I'm
on top
tenor.
Of,
right.
Top of all of
Many
that.
Hats. I just keep putting hats on higher and higher, so I get to Bishop's Mitre soon, I think. So.
We don't play a lot of choral music on the midday, but there's a beautiful appeal to a group of singers that comes together and makes lovely music. It can be transcendent.
I agree, yeah. Mm-hmm. I know that it's hard in for radio stations to program because of text, right, and for businesses. But, yeah, there is a quality about choral music that just doesn't exist. It's the idea of having all of those people join together and using sort of the most natural instrument, the voice. And I mean, honestly, there's just nothing more beautiful than a tuned chord that lines right up, and it just sort of invokes the music of the universe. And when you get that as a performer, it's thrilling. Mm-hmm. And then I think that translates, of course, to the audience as well. That they see that interaction happening, and just that it's live. I mean, people can get recordings of these things, but it's just never the same as sort of being in the space with the music and just having that vibration sort of move through your body and that you're having to actually give it breath, right, to bring it to life. So it's obviously exciting for me to do, but I think that sort of excitement goes on to the listeners as well.
They should sell tickets like they have started doing, for sailboat races. You can buy a ticket where you sit right at the foot of the mast and while everybody else works around you. Because, as you say, there's nothing like being in the chorus, at least as I remember from about seventh grade, and feeling the vibrations of all those vocal cords around you. There's a certain phenomenon that you can't appreciate even from the audience standpoint.
Wow, that's an idea I hadn't thought of.
Okay.
Gee,
right.
Thanks, Norman.
All right. I got a 5%
okay.
Shot.
Well, some of the music that was written in the 14th, 15th, 16th centuries for the cathedrals, for sacred purposes, literally goes into your body, lifts through those architectural spaces, and makes you feel different.
Yeah, I would agree. I think partially the acoustics help that because then the singers then don't have to really oversing because you had a natural amplification in those live spaces. And again, because of, as you mentioned, because of the architecture, it does help those chords line up and you hear differently, you hear better. So tuning, I think, improves a lot. It does a number on text. But then really, for a lot of those composers, they were sort of, putting things on top of one another, and text wasn't, although it was important in terms of creating musical ideas, the understanding of the text wasn't always in the fore because there was an assumption that people already knew what these texts were. The church, however, then started to take a pretty dim view of this sort of writing.
Well, even 500 years ago, even for Palestrina, the
right.
challenge was, look, you've got to write things that people can understand, that they can comprehend right. the words. So you have to come down, simplify things a little bit for that purpose.
Right, and you saved polyphony. Yes, so we teach our students.
Bruce, you work with a lot of different choral ensembles, and tuning is something that can be challenging when you're in the excitement of the moment. You might go sharp, or if there's a line that's heading upwards, you might go sharp, or conversely, if you're tired or the line's
hot,
heading
right.
down, you might go flat. How do you work on tuning to make the performance line right up, as you said, Daniel?
Well, for me, I work on tuning largely through aligning vowel sounds so that we're all singing the same vowels, which is, I think, more challenging than it might sound.
I can imagine.
The worst being English, actually. Because if you're learning a language you don't know, you're more likely to go with whatever someone has told you to do. Mm-hmm. But English, I already know how to pronounce English. So, and I'm from back east. So coming to Wisconsin, you know, there are so many different sounds, right? And to try to get all of those, you know, in the same space in the room is, you know, one challenge. And also I work, and it's not to get too sort of too musical about it. I work cadentially so that we line up where the musical cadences go and tune those things. I think vibrato has a lot to do with it because while that can provide a needed shimmer sometimes in the music, it also makes the chord go out of tune if the vibrato gets too wide. And so you have to judge how that's going to happen, how much vibrato you can use, and how you move into that. The tricky part, I think, is that. The choirs, when they're singing without accompaniment, will eventually slip into what's referred to as just intonation. So it's sort of perfectly tuned chords, fifths, octaves, which the piano and any other sort of equal temperament instrument doesn't do. Mm-hmm. We've cheated on those things. Mm-hmm. So things don't tune up. So as soon as you're a cappella, things then tune in a different way. Mm-hmm. And the challenge, of course, because that system also is not perfect, however we would view perfect, the basses in that case could sing absolutely perfect fifths and fourths as they move through in tonal music a circle of fifths, and if they sang them perfectly, they will go flat. It's they're wider than, they don't fit necessarily in the system. So there's always this little juggling act if you're in tonal or even modal music to find out where the goal is, like, what does this chord sound like when we get there? So you're tweaking each chord so that it works out. And, you know, I'll have, say, for instance, either one of my choirs, but the Madrigal Singers, and they'll sing something, you know, really a cappella and really beautifully, and they'll think, wow, you know, that went well, and it did go well, and then we'll go back to the piano, and they'll have dropped, you know, a quarter step or a half step, and they go, oh, and it's like, no, it's fine, it was in tune, we just need to tweak certain things, because, you know, if the choir goes down or up, which is different, together, I don't necessarily the audience, unless they're perfect pitch people out there, they don't perceive that happening. It's when they don't all go together at the same time that the problems occur. So I'm a stickler about intonation and having things line up, but, you know, if pitch drops a little because it was in tune, I tend to freak out less about that, honestly.
You're going to be conducting your first concert with the Festival Choir of Madison this weekend, right?
This weekend.
With the music of Schubert is on the program.
Yes, Schubert, as among others. But yeah, we're doing the Mass in G, which was Schubert's second Mass, and much different than the first one, which is this huge affair in F, big orchestra, lots of singers. And then he just sort of, he had a parish church that he was writing for that had smaller forces. And so we get this absolutely gorgeous second Mass. It's just one melody after the next.
He was good at melodies.
He could do that, right?
He had a knack for melody. And this is actually from one of the performances of would this be the first Mass, I think.
What, this Credo?
Yes.
I think this is the G.
This is from the second Mass.
Okay. Yeah.
This is the one that'll be performed this weekend.
Right.
Yep. And this is the Festival Choir.
Father, Oh.
the Credo from Schubert's Mass in G Major in a performance by the Festival Choir of Madison singing in concert last October at the First United Methodist Church here in Madison. And they'll be doing not just the Credo, but the entire Mass this weekend in a concert on Saturday evening at the First Unitarian Society of Madison in their new Atrium Auditorium. Also on that performance on the program is music of Debussy and music of Scott Gendel, Paul Carey, George Gershwin. It's quite a program you have lined up.
Thanks. Yeah, I was trying to look at spring. You know, we've had another hard winter, and I had tweaked some of the programming that they had for the concert. The former conductor had programmed the midwinter songs of Morten Lauritzen, and I thought, no, I'm done with winter, actually. So I tossed those out, put in some other things, and then started to look for more spring things. So and named basically the concert after the Gershwin Sing of Spring, which is from the movie Damsel in Distress that didn't use Ginger Rogers, but just Fred Astaire. So it's fun. So just a wide mix of different pieces on the concert.
Well, there's probably more songs about... There are probably more songs about spring than any other season. Imagine that. So
especially
the most to choose from.
In Sweden, Finland, Norway, yes, they have a lot of spring things that celebrate spring. It's really not surprising, but also funny that just seems to be a big theme when winter is so long.
And a lot of madrigals that sing about fairest flowers and the month of May.
Right, and love, the whole bursting forth of love and everything else. So we're sort of playing on that theme a little. And it's funny that the two pieces, the other sort of two looking pieces that don't look very springy, this Mass and the Purcell Come Ye Sons of Art, were both written in near to spring and were first performed in the spring. So the Schubert in late March, early April of 1815, and then the Schubert for Queen Mary's, or the Purcell for Queen Mary's birthday in April of 1694. So that's our tie-in for spring. How I made that
weave
work.
Weave it all together. Well, speaking of Purcell, he did set the words of Shakespeare, "If music be the food of love," but so did Dekau, and we're going to hear the festival choir doing "If Music Be the Food of Love" by David Dekau. This was from last year's spring concert.
Sing on, sing on, sing on till I am free.
Be the food of love, play on. That's a good line, and it's served more than one composer.
That was a performance by the Festival Choir of Madison from last year's spring concert at First United Methodist Church. They'll be doing a performance this weekend, Saturday evening, in Madison, and then in Stoughton, Bruce, you said, at the Stoughton Opera House
right.
on Sunday afternoon at 3.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you can find information at festivalchoir.org. Or you can call the phone number, which is 608-274-7089. And tickets are available at Orange Tree Imports, Ward Brought, at the Metcalf Century in Hilldale, and Wild Birds Unlimited, all of those outlets here in Madison.
And that's for the Madison concert. Mm-hmm. And the Stoughton concert they can get right at the Opera House. So
okay.
for our listeners down south who want to do that, they can go there.
You also mentioned for next season you want to do more outreach into Wisconsin.
Right. I'm looking at trying to incorporate the things that we really love about Madison and the things that we love about Wisconsin into our programming, which is a challenge for me, but the things I like to do. And then to, you know, go out into the state and take these concerts more on the road to different places so that they can hear what we have here in Madison and that we can sort of share that existence there. So
make it a Wisconsin phenomenon.
Right, exactly.
Our guest this half hour has been Bruce Gladstone, the director of the Festival Choir with upcoming concerts.
And also the director of choral activities at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, associate director.
Right,
right, right. Thank you very much for being our guest.
Thanks so much for having me. This was very much fun, and I appreciate the time to talk about the Festival Choir and our concerts.
Well, it's always nice to talk about choral music, too.
Indeed, yes.
Yeah.